The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. So last week, Pastor Chris, she talked with you a little bit about how much of the faith movement had kind of gotten off focus. So much of it had gotten focused on a prosperity message, focused on finances, and things of that sort. And how, because of that, many Christians have lost focus on what the purpose of faith is in our lives. Because the truth is, we are called to act in faith because God intends for us to transform the nations. Okay? It's not about, oh, I was able to buy a nice house. I was able to do this or that, right? It's because God intends for all of us to be powerful in the Spirit, and to be used mightily by Him. You see, if we go to Hebrews chapter 11, it goes through the faith that many of the heroes of the Bible had, right? The faith of somebody like Abraham, who left everything behind, his father and mother's household, to go to a land he didn't even know of, right? When God said, hey, you're going to build an ark because there's a flood coming, Noah had never seen a flood, right? He didn't know anything about an ark. He didn't know nothing about making a boat. But then he devoted years and years of his life to following the Lord, despite the circumstances. And thankfully, because of his obedience, we're still here today. Amen? And the thing about Noah is that he was building that ark for what could have been decades. The scripture tells us that sometime after he was 500 years old, the Lord appeared to him and gave him these instructions. Build an ark, because a flood's coming. And then the scripture tells us, after he's finished constructing it, that when Noah was 600 years old, he entered the ark. Okay? So sometime after 500, all the way to 600 years old, Noah was building that ark and working on it. Okay? That means that he was investing a lot of time, he was investing a lot of money and resources on this project that by any reasonable examination made no sense. Here he is building a boat in the middle of nowhere, right? Nobody's ever seen no flood before. Nobody's ever seen a boat that big before. And here Noah is spending year after year after year building this ark because he believed what God said. And because of that, his actions followed. So all of Noah's life had to become reoriented around obeying God. Think of how that would affect your schedule, right? I'm sure Noah, maybe he had some other trade he did. Well, now the majority of his resources and the majority of his time is now going into building this ark that he didn't ask to do it. I guarantee you, Noah wasn't sitting around praying and saying, Lord, I would really love to take on a 3-decade-long project. Right? I know some of you guys, maybe you do some home improvement project, right? And they just can't ever seem to end, right? Well, imagine God telling you to build one of these things and it's going to last for decades. You're just building and building and building and working and working and working and it's not done. But Noah had faith in the Lord. And because of that, he was willing to inconvenience himself, restructure his entire life to obey God. But thankfully, because of his faith and because of his obedience, we're still here today. And you see, the thing about faith is that faith, in order to walk in faith, it means that it's going against your understanding. It's going against your quote-unquote wisdom, okay? And it's potentially even going against the things that you would have picked, the things that you would have wanted. You're surrendering your will. You know what? God, this makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me, but I'm going to obey you anyway. And the truth is that for anyone to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to have great faith. And this is something where the focus of the way faith is preached about or has been preached about for the past several years, this focus has gotten a little bit off. Because a lot of people, they treat faith as this means by which they hope to wish away their problems. Now, the truth is that God will operate and move supernaturally on your behalf. But in order to be a leader in the kingdom of God and to be used mightily by him, you're going to have to come face to face with something that goes against your understanding, something that doesn't make no sense to you. Maybe it's a big inconvenience to you. And then you're going to have to choose, will I obey God or am I just going to do things my own way? And you see, a lot of Christians, what happens is they make all of their plans, okay? They map out their life, they map out their schedule and all of their plans, and they start doing it. And then when they hit a roadblock, then they go to God and they say, Lord, help me, deliver me, right? Oh, I'm standing by faith. God's gonna help me in this situation here, right? I'm standing by faith. But the truth is that our entire life actually needs to be reoriented, with which the command of God comes first, and then we arrange our life around it. So that's what Abraham had to do, right? God said, leave your father's household and go to a land I will show you. That's a big inconvenience, okay? Especially back then, okay? They didn't have video, you know, FaceTime or video chat back then, right? This was a big deal, but his entire life, he was willing to restructure it to go and obey God. Now, the reason why this thing is required is because the calling that God has is so, so great. The truth is that God has a great calling for all of us, but we have to come face to face with this question. Are we willing to obey God or are we not? And you have to walk it, right? So if it's something that you can understand, if it's something that makes sense to you, that's not walking by faith. It could be a good thing. It could be scriptural. But faith requires you to step out of your understanding, right? You're like Peter. You're in the boat, right? And the storm's out there. You eventually have to step out of the boat. You eventually have to do something that for Peter, right? It was completely impossible according to all the laws of physics and buoyancy, right? What he was doing, you know, you could get a whole line of scientists, okay? And they could have examined the situation that Peter was in. They could have looked at the water, taken all their tests, looked at all their readings, and they would have come to the same conclusion. Peter, when you step into that water, you're going to sink, right? And this is something you have to understand, okay? Regardless of what the situation is like, okay? Whether it's a bunch of financial experts are saying, oh, well, don't do this, do this or that, right? Whether it's a bunch of medical experts saying one thing or another, okay? If God told you to do something, you got to pick, do I listen to man's understanding or do I follow God? And I'm not saying it's an easy decision, but our faith will be proven. And each of us, in order for us to step into the full calling God has for us, that faith will be tested and it will be proven true. These are the things that are required for the Daniels and the Josephs to arise in this season. You see, if we go down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, then he starts just listing off more people. He says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Notice this. None of the things that they were standing and believing for, okay? It wasn't, oh, I want a nice big house. Oh, I'm going to be debt-free in Jesus' name. Thank you. I'm standing in faith, right? It was none of those things. The kind of faith that Hebrews 11 is talking about is the kind of faith that changes the course of history, okay? So just like if Noah was presented with some instructions from God, and they were pretty inconvenient for his day-to-day life, right? And Noah very well could have just decided, well, I'm going to do my own thing, and then we wouldn't have been here, right? That was a divergence in the timeline as far as historically going, right? Then you got somebody like Abraham, leave everything and go to a land I will show you, right? There was now a divergence in the timeline there too, right? where Abraham could have stayed behind and he would never have been the father of many nations, which meant that Israel would have never come to fruition, and then all of the other nations that came down from Abraham. We know that the Edomites came from him. We know that the Midianites and many of the people from Ishmael came from Abraham. There was all of these different nations that came downstream from Abraham, which means the world would look very different today if he didn't obey God. It is the same in our own life. The difference between you obeying God and you not obeying God, it is such an astronomical difference, you can't even measure it. And the truth is, you know, if the Lord tarries for that long, even across the generations, they'll still be feeling the effects of whether you obey God or not, and they may not know it. Okay, so the faith that God has called us to, it is not towards these things that are so focused on finances. Now notice, when Abraham obeyed the Lord, God blessed him. In fact, Abraham became more prosperous than when he was with his father's household. The same thing happens with somebody like David. God transitioned him from a shepherd to king over Israel. Let me tell you, kings are prosperous, okay? But it was never about the prosperity. It was never about the finances. And the truth is that money is a tool, and you need money to get things done. Okay? God understands that. So if he calls you to a place and he brings you to an arena where funds are required to get the job done, well, you know what? God is going to provide those funds, right? He'll make a way when there needs to be a way. But it's not about the finances, right? And if your focus is on that, well, you are then going to have to come face to face with it. You're going to have to come face to face with the fact where, am I willing to trust God with my finances, right? When everything I know doesn't make sense, will I make the decision to trust the Lord, right? If God asks me to give it up, right? Maybe you are really particular on finances or whatever it could be, right? Everybody has something that's really dear, really precious to them. If the Lord tells you, surrender this to me, sacrifice this to me, do you have the faith to trust him in that thing? And all of us, if we're going to step into leadership, we will have to come face to face with that. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham. What did Abraham want more than anything? He wanted a son, right? And he believed the Lord with all of his heart that he would have a son, even though he was 90-something years old, right? And then God said, it's going to be through your wife, Sarah, who was also really old, right? So God created this impossible situation. And then finally, Isaac is born, right? And Abraham loved Isaac. And then the Lord said to Abraham, he said, take your son whom you love and sacrifice him to me. And you know what the scripture says? The scripture tells us that early the next morning, Abraham took his things, he got his son and one of his servants, and he left. That is the kind of faith that Abraham had, even in this thing that was so dear and precious to him. He trusted God in that. And you know what happens after that? And it's because Abraham reasoned to himself. He realized, you know what? I can trust to God because you know what? He's the God of the universe. So to God, death is nothing, right? And the scripture tells us that Abraham reasoned in his heart that God could even bring back Isaac from the dead. That's how much faith Abraham had in God. And what happens at the end of the story, Abraham didn't have to give up his son. In fact, he received his son back and he inherited far greater. He became the father of many nations. He got a bunch of sons and daughters, right? Spiritual sons and daughters. We're all sons and daughters of Abraham now, okay? And this is what it's like with God. You can give God anything, right? If he asks you something, you need to trust me with this. You need to give this to me. You need to just believe me and surrender this to me. Lay it at my feet. We can trust him in that. You see, something that happens here in Matthew chapter 19, and you may be very well familiar with the story. It says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, that there was this rich young ruler who came up to Jesus and he started asking, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus starts asking him, he's like, well, are you following the commandments? Are you living righteously? And the man responds and he says, yes, all of these I've kept, the young man said. And what still do I lack? So we have to contextualize this in our own lives. So this man, he believed in the Lord, and he was living correctly according to the instructions and laws of the Lord. Okay, he was living right. Okay? But Jesus said to him, still you lack in this one thing. He says, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, this man valued his wealth more than he valued the calling of the Lord Jesus. And understand, this is the same calling that Jesus told his disciples. They all had a trade. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were tax collectors, whatever it may be. When Jesus called them, hey, come and follow me, they left their nets. They left their boat. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. Jesus became the highest authority in their life. They restructured their life around following Jesus. And this is what faith looks like in action. But for this young man, so he received the same calling his disciples received. So Jesus was telling this man, hey, become one of my disciples. But he valued his wealth more than he valued what Jesus was offering him. And so he did not have trust in the Lord in that thing. This is what is required for leadership. And whatever it may be, whatever thing in your own life, you will have to come face to face with it concerning your faith in God. It could be concerning family members that you have to just trust the Lord and just surrender those situations to Him. It may be concerning your health. It may be concerning your finances, okay? But you're going to have to come face to face with it. Do I trust in God, and am I willing to obey the Lord and act accordingly? Because we know faith without works is dead. You can name and claim it all you want, but you still got to obey the Lord. So further down, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and then Peter tells Jesus in verse 27, he says, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus says to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. Okay. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Now notice here, right? Concerning family, concerning your loved ones, concerning finances and business, all of those things, you may have to be willing to surrender it to come and follow God. And maybe some of you, maybe you're experiencing that in your own life, where you end up having to just trust the Lord concerning your loved ones, right? There are some married people where one person wants to follow the Lord and the other person wants to do their own thing. In that situation, you have now come into a circumstance where you have to choose between, do I serve the Lord or do I serve my spouse, right? Who is the God in my life? And truthfully, that's a horrible situation to be in. But we all have to come to terms with that, which is that who is the God in your life? Are you willing to obey the Lord? But in this, you have to remember you can trust God. In Mark, this same story happens, and it has a little bit of a different twist when Jesus explains it to his disciples. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, and then Peter spoke up, we've left everything to follow you. And then Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel, right? Anyone who's left any of these things, not a single one of them will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. See here, Abraham received his son back. He offered it to God, but he received his son back. And he received way more than 100 times as much, right? Both in that age and in eternal life, because he's still receiving more sons. You understand? So this isn't just something for like, oh yes, when we go to heaven. No, when you trust in God, he will take care of you. And it can hurt. It can be hard. But God is someone you can trust. And that's what it will come down to, whether we trust the Lord or not, and whether our actions will show how much faith we have in the Lord. And I'm telling you, God loves you so much. And when he tells you, surrender this to me, he's not doing it because he wants to be cruel. He's not doing it because he wants to punish you or anything like that. Jesus was not looking to punish this rich young ruler because he had great wealth. But Jesus understood that this was something that the rich young ruler valued more than the calling of God. And in order for him to step into the calling that God had for his life, he had to be willing to surrender it to God. And Jesus even went on to say, look, those who leave all the fields, they're going to get 100 times as much. So we have to remember the God we serve. He loves you. He loves you so much, he was willing to die for you. Okay? So it may hurt to give it to the Lord. It may be hard. It may go against everything where your mind and your flesh is screaming at you. But you have to be willing to trust in the Lord. You got to step out of the boat. Okay? Because the calling that God has for you is so great and so mighty, it will shake the nations and his glory will be shown to many people. And this is exactly what happens. And we'll talk about this, I guess, in a future episode because I'm starting to run out of time. But understand this. You see, the faith of somebody like David changed history. The faith of somebody like Daniel changed history. The faith of somebody like Abraham changed history forever. Through your faith, that is the kind of faith that will be such a powerful force in this day that it will transform the nations for years to come. And that's something that's to be excited about. But it's something you will have to. You got to wrestle with it. You've got to walk it. Okay? It is not something where, oh, I'm believing. I'm standing receiving. Right? You can say all the things you want, but your actions are what show where your faith is. And the other thing, too, with how the faith doctrines have gotten kind of off focus, think about where a lot of the focus has been. A lot of it turns into showing off of sorts. A lot of the focus starts to go into, look at me. Look at the blessings that I have. Wow, I was able to pay it all in cash, right? But then it's always a really small group of them. But the focus gets completely diverted away from God, because everyone starts focusing on those finances. Well, I want to be rich too, right? I'm standing and believing I'm getting 100-fold return. And then how many people actually get the 100-fold return, right? Because the focus has never been about the finances. And you can go through all the scriptures and you can go through all the heroes of the Bible. The focus was never on the finances, right? In many cases, the finances became a means to an end, okay? And it's the same in our life. The focus isn't about the finances, and your faith should not be centered around it. Okay, none of the heroes of the Bible were standing and believing in faith that, oh yeah, well, I'm going to be debt-free, right? The purpose is to spread the gospel and to give glory to the Lord so that all nations will come to recognize the goodness of God and his love, right? That is always the focus. And truthfully, if you have money, it helps, right? I'm not saying that being successful is bad, but the love of money, remember, is sin. So hopefully this has been enlightening for you. Basically, we're relearning how to properly walk in faith, right? There's been so much teaching about faith, and now we're having to rediscover what faith really means. And I hope that you'll join us on this journey, because all of us are learning to walk our faith with fear and trembling. But as we do it, I promise you, you'll discover it is so rewarding. It is so exciting, because you're going to begin to discover God in a way that you've never done before. So join us on this journey as we are learning to follow the Lord and obey him in true faith. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.